We're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, talking here with Dr. Timothy Schaefer, assistant professor in the Department of Communication Studies at Kansas State University. And we're chatting here about the news of the day here. And I always find it interesting, you know, in all this impeachment coverage, and we've talked about this in the past, is just how it's presented in the national media. And so many times stories get framed a certain way, and not everybody can realize it. I have a little better skill of finding that because I'm in media and broadcasting and journalism. But, you know, I just want to ask you and kind of, you know, how can someone like me in my role and somebody who is maybe at a national level or state level in broadcasting mm-hmm. do better here in presenting these stories so that, you know, stuff doesn't get mixed up, mixed messages?
No, it's a great question and point. And it's, I think, one of critical importance and confusing for some people because they would not necessarily think of it that way. My one thing is this: it's not a game. And by that I mean the language, the framing, as you referenced a moment ago, kind of hearken to. I'm looking at your Chiefs shirt, by the way. So good job, Friday yeah. Red. You've done it. For those who can't see it, I could verify it. But it's not, right? I mean, there are games. Back to the point we were talking about earlier, like we do need spaces where we're not constantly obsessed with thinking about legislation and kind of politics in these formal ways. When we are kind of getting that information, whether it's through various sources of media, whether it's television, radio, print, whatever it might be, social media, right, increasingly is one of these spaces, and that's one of the things that has exacerbated it, is that we have the ability to self-select. And I think about it, I have become a more diligent gym goer lately, and there's always all these multiple screens. And depending on where I'm, what time I'm there and all these things, there will be a few different channels going on, and I'll watch the cryons, right, the bottom part of the screen, the little phrases. That's what they're called, cryons, for the listeners.
Chiron.
Or Chiron, yeah.
You're close.
Yeah, see, look, see, you're correcting me. That's good. Last week, I think it was, or maybe in a week and a half ago, when they were doing the impeachment, the first phase of the trial, same thing going on, radically different expressions of what was happening on the bottom of those screens. And I think it speaks to, I think that one of the challenges we face is that, right, you know, a lot of media is commercial. And so it's got a vested interest in not disrupting some of those dimensions and kind of appealing to basically kind of audiences that kind of reinforce and allow some of that stuff. And so generally speaking, even with those interests in mind, I think media can do better about stepping back from kind of the intensity, kind of the gamification of this this issue and many others. And so we can look at it, you know, frankly, more kind of rationally and kind of calmly, not to remove the kind of human dimensions or aspects of it, because I think we need to humanize this. But I think we need to acknowledge, like, this, all of this work is really real, and media plays an essential element. I was actually, this is not where I wanted to go today. This is this is funny that I'm going to say this. If my graduate students, they're probably not listening, but if they were, we talked about this guy named Jürgen Habermas, who was he still is alive, but hugely influential in shaping the way that we think about the role of media and kind of democracy. And he has this idea of what he refers to as the public sphere. And it's this idea of we have our private lives and then we have government over here. And these are almost overlapping circles. And that in between is what he refers to as the public sphere. And ideally, that's where we can engage in public discourse, kind of rational interaction. And historically, we've had this in the salons in France and the reading rooms in England and all these other places. But that's really challenged by interested parties and others that don't want us to have those opportunities for interaction. And so this is where this kind of discourse work, this dialogue, deliberation ideally exists, but that's really difficult to do, right? Because it takes time and resources and energy, all these factors. But media plays an important element of that, of not just in like a kind of bad boogeyman sort of way, but can really be an essential piece of informing people. And it's the way that people, I myself included, right, I'm reading and listening to things daily to know what's going on. So I have that ability to be an informed citizen, and that's true for everybody else. And so when we say, you know, what can media do? I would emphasize the importance of being as, and I think you all do a good job in talking about these things, especially at like kind of local level where we wouldn't really have good sources otherwise, right? There's very few. Being able to say, this is an issue going on, here's information about it, without kind of sensationalizing it, without kind of framing it only from one perspective or angle or the other. And that's an essential piece for media to have a relevance in kind of shared democratic life now and going forward, right? This idea of public sphere and public space, how do we engage informed and kind of thoughtful people? Well, part of it is we have to be knowledgeable what's going on, and media plays a huge part of that. If it only frames it as left, right, the kind of teams, that kind of stuff, like that's actually an amazing disservice. And the unfortunate piece is that's what kind of sells as more like flashy. It's the kind of piece that might get you more listeners or readers or whatever it might be, but it's detrimental in the long term.
I'm gonna call out the Associated Press here, because they do it all the time. I see stories in the Associated Press. And in fact, I saw it again today here, and it really kind of irritates me when I come across it here, because of the way they frame things here. They did a story on the anti-abortion amendment here on the Kansas Constitution, and they frame a Democratic governor, Laura Kelly, and then they go talk about the Republican-controlled legislature, which I understand that is the case here, but when you frame it that way, it's her against the Republicans.
Yeah, no, and it's often very subtle, right? I mean, so something like this would be, I think, a good example of thinking of something in that vein. Another would be, I thought about it quite a bit with the impeachment, especially with this, with the trial going on. It's shorthand, right? Especially thinking about, and you're sitting in the role that you are, right? So how do you have the most information be communicated in a relatively short amount of time? Those kinds of factors, those concerns come into play. But in that trial, for example, would it not be better to say those who are calling for witnesses in this trial happens to be virtually all the Democrats and maybe a few Republicans, in contrast to saying the Democrats are calling for – so yeah. Subtle, right? But it creates the kind of categories in which people are existing and operating rather than just immediately saying – here is this group, and now it's going to follow subsequently from there. And right, there's relatively it's a slight shorthand or a kind of a simplification. But by simplifying this, right, we get rid of the complexity of this, right? I mean, what we were talking about even of that that workshop earlier, right? If we get rid of some of these complexities and some of the rough edges around topics or individuals, then it's complicating the efforts to think about politics as something other than simply who's got the most votes, right? Who's got the 51% or whatever it might be. And that's really unfortunate, because that is such a simplistic kind of narrow framing for these ideas. And so, I mean, and to your point, this is something we all need to really be thoughtful about, of how do we talk about these? And this is part of, again, Habermas. I can't believe I'm saying Habermas twice on the radio, but he really made this point that we need to be able to have this informed discussion. And part of that is getting away from some of what you're critiquing right now. We need to understand that, you know, if we look at the trial going on right now, that it's not simply this or that. Here are the ideas, and the people who fill it in, people who support it or arguing for that position may, right, they all may be this group, this party, but that's not always true, right? I mean, we're also limited by our kind of our context in the United States, right? We largely have two dominant political parties, so it's very easy to set up the Democratic governor, Laura Kelly, versus the quote Republicans over here, right? That kind of thing. In lots of other settings, that just wouldn't be the case, right? Because they're multi-parties and things of that sort. But we have a system that makes that really easy. The detriment is that it kind of reinforces that to the extent that we can't have places of interesting overlap, because you are, these camps are not just political and they're ideological and everything else. There's been some really interesting writing about this. Why, for example, do we talk about Republicans as conservative and Democrats as liberal, right? Those are largely interchangeable as we talk about it in popular ways. Well, that's not actually true. But that's not easy to talk about, right? We wouldn't say we've lost a lot of them, like even in the Senate, right? We would have members who were, you know, Joe Manchin is one who gets called out pretty frequently. He's the one of the senators from West Virginia who's more conservative ideologically. He's Democrat by affiliation with a party. And it's interesting, right? It's always this funny kind of trying to situate where he falls and realizing, like, there are others who would also maybe fall in some kind of spectrum, but we've classified and kind of clumped them together in some unfortunate ways that it only becomes a Susan Collins, or it becomes a Lisa Murkowski, or a Joe Manchin, these kinds of people who might be slightly different from where we see the center of their parties. And I think that's really detrimental. And, you know, media plays a role in that, because that's how we present and talk about it, not necessarily because that's what exists.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a little bit ago about sensationalizing, and that's one thing that I don't allow it here in the news department. We don't sensationalize headlines. We don't sensationalize news stories. But, man, it gets sensationalized quite a bit at the national level, and to the point that, like, we even have the coronavirus. That's the big thing here. But when you sensationalize something so much, it kind of loses its dramatic appeal, I guess.
If everything is breaking news, what's not? Mm-hmm. And what is above breaking news? I don't know. I mean, this is part of it, right? And again, it's if we have it perpetually used in these kind of familiar ways, then right, it loses its effect. Mm-hmm. And even to the coronavirus, significant, right? We should take concerns about this. More people are going to die from the flu.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about it. Why? Well, because the flu is the flu, right? I mean, and coronavirus is something new. I don't want to wage anything here, but right, I imagine coronavirus will, the prevalence of it on kind of news pages and being talked about will dissipate after a period, after they get some of this figured out, right, of quarantines and everything else, travel bans and the like. And it will go away, except for a handful of news outlets that are more into long-form journalism or like looping back around, 4 or 6 weeks later or even longer to say, remember when we were talking in January about, you know, the coronavirus? And then they'll do a follow-up story at that point. But by and large, it'll be gone, right? We'll be talking about whatever it is that's happening in April at that point. It's not bad. Like, this is right, one of these challenges, right? How do we inform? How do we have necessary information and knowledge? And at the same time, how do we situate it within the kind of the right context and perspective to where we're not running around freaking out about an issue that is affecting people in the United States? Yes, relatively small, right? And in certain places, these kinds of factors. I know we had potentially a case in Lawrence. But you know, and transmission in Chicago, right? I know that because it's been communicated, right? So I appreciate it, but I think keeping it in perspective also is important. And so when that becomes the lead, and it's not kind of further clarified beyond a human-to-human transmission in Chicago, for example, right? Then that becomes important. Well, they were spouses, right? Now this kind of stuff, it's unsurprising. It's the same thing that I do whenever I travel and I come home and I get my family sick, right? It's it just happens to be coronavirus.
Yeah. But the first thing you hear is, oh, the death toll is rising. And it's scary to people when they hear that. And, and it's not really that big of an issue just yet in the United States.
Right. And it's not to diminish this from a public health perspective or anything. Right. I think it's to keep it in kind of parameter, right? You can always say, like, things are growing or diminishing if you look at it from another perspective, though, and say, what's your number here?
Yeah.
That's important. And so back to your point about what role media kind of journalists can play is, how do you tell that larger story of yes, coronavirus is happening. This is occurring in places around the world. These steps are being taken. And, you know, for context or reference, in the United States, we've got cases. It is going up. The N, what's the number? Well, is it in the teens, right? Mm-hmm. Is it whatever? I mean, and at this point, I don't believe that's even the case, right? So it's important to keep it in perspective.
I think yesterday I saw 170 people have died from coronavirus in China.
Yeah. So it's and again, right? A lot of voices, critics saying that, well, it's probably actually higher because of China, kind of state media and all these factors, and so it's not an unconcerning issue. It is something though that we need to be thoughtful of this alongside all the other things that we say are important topical issues for us to be aware about. How do we name it? How do we frame it? And then how do we have the conversation?
All right. We'll end on that. We're going to take a break, come back and talk about the community engagement symposium that you have coming up later on this semester. Stay tuned. More in Focus after this on KMAN.